She was born Sadie Marks in Seattle, Washington. The year was 1910. Her mother was Esther, her father named David. She was married to Jack Benny for almost 45 years. She was not known as Mrs. Jack Benny. She was known as Mary Livingston. She passed away at the age of 74 on Thursday, June 30th, 1983. On today's program, we're going to look back on the career of Sadie Marks, better known as Mary Livingston, as we pay tribute to one of the great voices from the golden age of radio. We're going to make extensive use of a fine book written by Mary Livingston Benny and Hilliard Marks with Marcia Vorey, book entitled Jack Benny, published by Doubleday. And on page 39, Mary starts her story about how she met Jack Benny. Quote, "Contrary to all those publicized stories, my first meeting with Jack was not in Los Angeles at the hosiery counter of the May Company. That came later. I initially laid eyes on him in the dining room of my parents' home at 1649 Nelson Street in Vancouver, British Columbia. I was going on 13, and I couldn't stand him. One Friday during the Passover holiday of 1922, my father invited the Marks brothers, no relation, to join the family for dinner. They were then heading the Orpheum Bill, but only Zeppo arrived, bringing Jack Benny with him. Jack and Zeppo were close friends and frequently roomed together on the road. As I later found out, when Zeppo told Jack about the prospect of a good Passover meal, he also said that he'd heard the Marks family had two daughters, very cute numbers, so Jack had been more than anxious to go along. What greeted them when they entered our dining room was my older sister Babe, my younger brother Hilliard, and me. Incidentally, my name was then Sadie. After a brief time, I heard Jack whisper to Zeppo, 'What did you bring me here to meet these kids for? Let's get out of here.' Shortly thereafter, both of them beat a hasty retreat. Needless to say, my very first impression of Jack Benny was simply that he was a very rude man. 4 years passed, and I'd grown up and graduated from King George High School in Vancouver. Then my family moved to San Francisco. Our stay there was brief, and shortly after my sister Babe's wedding, the family moved for the last time, settling down in Los Angeles. By then, I had decided not to go on to college and had taken a job selling hosiery at the May Company. It was 1926, and Jack Benny came to town to play an engagement at the Orpheum Theater. One day, I was behind my hosiery counter at the May Company, swamped with business, when I looked up and saw Jack Benny coming toward me. He got within hearing distance of my customers and then said, 'Pardon me, miss, can you tell me where the men's room is?' I was so embarrassed, I snapped back, 'Ask the floor walker.' On Friday afternoon, January 14th, 1927, in Waukegan, Illinois, I became Mrs. Jack Benny. He was 33, and she was a child bride of 16, almost 17 years old. The marriage lasted almost 45 years. In July of 1932, a couple of months after the Jack Benny Canada Dry program started, Mary remembers, quote, "Jack came home and told me that at rehearsal the program had run a couple of minutes short. He asked me if I would be afraid to go on and do 2 minutes with him, and I said no. I made my radio debut on August 3rd, 1932. We don't have a copy of that particular program, but the closest we can come in dates is February 11th, 1934. Here is a short excerpt, and we apologize for the quality, but it's very rare. The Chevrolet Show, starring Jack Benny.
The Chevrolet program starring Jack Benny with Frank Black and his orchestra. Thank you. soldier.
Dear old winter,
with your icy snow, frosty echoes on the valley, howdy, howdy, ho.
Dear old winter,
that was Mary Livingston finishing the poem she started last week. And now, I bring to you our master of ceremonies, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny, the Earth Galloper. Remember?
February 23rd, 1936.
The cello program starring Jack Benny with Johnny Green and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Goody Goody.
Don, I can't be bothered answering that door. Where's Mary?
I don't know. She didn't show up yet.
She didn't? Well, that's fine. Give me that phone. Operator, give me Plainfield 1987. People show up whenever they feel like it around here.
Hello?
Hello?
You've got the wrong number.
How do you know? I didn't say anything yet. I want to speak to Mary Livingston.
I'm sorry, but she's here.
Oh, she is here. Well, why don't you put her on the phone?
She's too heavy. Oh, Ma, is that for me? Yes, dear. Hello?
Mary, what are you doing home? The program has started already.
Gee, is it Sunday night again?
Yes.
Oh, it's so cold, Jack. I thought I'd stay home tonight. Besides, I have to take care of Father.
Well, what's the matter with him?
He sprained his ankle last night trucking.
Oh, yeah? Well, I don't believe you. What's that?
That's Father limping around. Sit down, Pa.
Well, you better get over here, Mary.
And another thing, Jack. I have to look after Grandma. She's in bed with a cold.
Oh, is it very bad?
Is it? We had to put the other tin bed on a chest.
Well, that ought to fix her up, huh?
And that's not all, Jack. The baby has the measles.
She has? What are you doing for her?
I wrote the swellest poem. Measles, measles. Dear old measles. How are you?
Never mind that. Now, you get over here, Mary. I need you on the program.
Oh, all right.
And make it snappy.
I'll be there with bells on. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
One of the great writers of the Jack Benny radio and television programs, George Balzer.
Mary was a girl on the show. Now, let me get into that a little bit. She, off mic, of course, she was Mrs. Benny. Mary was married to Jack. On the show, she was a very integral part of the show. She was not Jack's wife. She was a friend, just a friend. She was not his girlfriend, romantically. She was just someone who was always there, who kept Jack in his place. If we ever did a show where Jack was out on a date, we always had a guest star or another, or a character actress or whatever. It was not Mary, but Mary was always there, so that when Jack got out of line, why, she'd let him have it. And that's kind of the part she played. She played many different purposes for us, filled a great need, but never, it's hard to define what she was to Jack. She was just a good friend who took advantage of him.
And here is a perfect example of Mary Livingston taking advantage of Jack Benny when Dorothy Kirsten appeared as a guest on the Jack Benny program. It resulted in probably the longest laugh of his career on radio. From April 25th, 1948, listen to how this one builds, and she does it with only two words.
Well, Miss Kirsten, this is indeed an honor and a great privilege having an operatic star like you on my program.
Thank you, Mr. Benny. Coming from a violinist of your reputation, I consider that quite a compliment.
Well, thinking of my violin playing, I really shouldn't take too much credit for a talent that comes naturally.
Some talent. Your father used to tie a flat iron on the end of your bow so you could practice the violin and press pants at the same time.
No, please. Oh, Miss Miss Kirsten, this is Mary Livingston.
How do you do, Miss Livingston?
How do you do?
And this is Dennis Day.
Hello, Dennis. Glad to know you, Miss Kirsten.
Dennis, you must be very proud to be associated with a man of Mr. Benny's stature and importance.
In a bathing suit, he looks like a spider.
Mr. Day.
Oh, Miss Kirsten, I wanted to tell you that I saw you in Madame Butterfly Wednesday afternoon, and I thought your performance was simply magnificent.
Well, thanks, sir. You're very awfully. It's not an awfully nice and kind of you, Mr. Wilson. But who could help singing Puccini? It's so expressive, and particularly in the last act, starting with the Allegro Vivacissimo.
Well, that's being very modest, Miss Kirsten, but not every singer has the necessary bel canto and flexibility or range to cope with the high tessitura of the first act.
Exactly, Mr. Wilson. And don't you think that in the aria Un bel di vedremo that the strings played the con molto passione exceptionally fine and with great sostenendo?
Well, I thought...
Oh, shut up!
Mary Livingston also contributed her share of bloopers on the Jack Benny program. Here's one of them from the Easter program, April 10th, 1955.
Hello, Mary. Happy Easter.
Happy. Jack, you're not going to wear that white suit.
Why not? What's wrong with it?
I haven't seen one like that since Admiral Byrd came back from the South Pole.
What are you talking about?
Well, if you're going to wear it, at least wipe that tomato soup satin off the lapel.
Tomato soup what? Tomato soup satin?
Tomato soup stain off the lapel.
Well, what for? For medicinal, it'll look like a red carnation. Come on, Mary, let's go. See you later, Rochester.
Well, later on in the same program, Jack and Mary got to sing.
Never saw such a lovely day, Happy Easter. It's such fun just to nod and say Happy Easter.
And you greet all the friends you meet.
Happy Easter to you.
Dennis!
In real life, Jack Benny and Mary Livingston were very, very happy. They called each other doll, and the one thing they wanted most, they were denied. And so finally, they adopted a daughter, Joan, in 1934. Mary Livingston appeared without Jack in one film entitled This Way, Please, in 1937, and also did an offstage voice for his film Buck Benny Rides Again. On May 21st, 1951, shortly after Jack Benny made his television debut, Mary Livingston came on the Jack Benny Show, too. Jack passed away the day after Christmas, 1974. And Mary Livingston had been retired from radio and television for about 15 years prior to that. On February 16th, 1978, just 2 days after what would have been Jack's birthday, Mary Livingston made a very rare appearance on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
So you worked for Jack on stage?
Yeah.
You worked in radio, you worked in television, and you said there came a time when all of a sudden you develop what they call mic fright. And a lot of people who are not in show business may find it impossible to believe how a performer all of a sudden who's worked, gets afraid of the mic. What happened?
Well, you know really what happened when I first went on the stage. Well, I sang a song every week, and nothing bothered me. And then I went into radio, and everything was fine until I finally realized that we had quite a large audience.
The number one show in the nation for many years.
That made me quite nervous. So when Jack and I used to work this way, facing the audience, you see, and then when I found out we had
millions.
A few listeners, I turned and faced Jack.
Wouldn't look at the studio audience.
Oh, I was frightened of the audience. And I would take my papers and throw them out, you know. And half the time, two would go at a time.
And there goes the script.
And there goes the script. And then I went into television. And everything was by accident anyway. But I went into television and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, I awakened Jack about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd been on about 10 years. And I said, you know, Dal, this is my last show. I'm a wreck.
Yeah, you said the day of the show, you'd say you'd start to think about it so much.
Well, I'd wake up 3 or 4 or 5 times a night.
Just thinking about having to go in front of the audience.
Go on and face an audience.
Jack's character on television and radio was so well established.
As being cheap.
As being cheap. And a little bit vain. And you were his girlfriend. And I've often wondered, and I never asked you this before. He always played a bachelor, didn't he?
Always.
You were his girlfriend who dropped in. He was always at home with Rochester. You would go over, you would meet someplace. Was there ever a period of time where the writer said, hey, let's have him get married?
No, never.
Why? I wonder why that never came up.
Well, I think it's the same reason that Jack never wanted to be more than 39 years old.
In other words, don't break the image.
Don't break the image and leave it at 39. I think that when I first went on radio show, I went on as his secretary.
You played kind of dumb,
and
the dumb girl.
The dumb girl, I think. And then later, as we got Dennis Day and the different people on, they would write me out as a different kind of a character, but never Mrs. Jack Benny.
Yeah, and you became the kind of wisecracking girlfriend. But that just occurred to me. It was interesting. You're married in real life for, what, 48 years?
No, we're married 40... January would have been 45.
45?
Yeah.
And yet you were just his girlfriend on the show?
Girlfriend? When I was married to him, I was his girlfriend. When I first met Jack, Jack was probably, I think, one of the handsomest men I'd ever met.
He was a rake, I guess they would say in those days. I mean,
and pretty blue eyes. But anyway, he was a darling man. But he had a terrible habit when he first got married, and I started working with him. And the phone would ring backstage. And
I remember.
Some girl or something, and Jack never said he was married. Never.
So he'd just say, not tonight, or
I can't see you tonight. And finally, I was
And you're already married?
Of course. And we were up, I was standing at the top of the stairs, and the phone rang, and I was getting ready to go on the stage, and the phone rang. Jack answered, oh, I'm so sorry, but I just can't make it tonight. We'll make it another night. And when he came upstairs, I said, I got so angry at him that I scratched his face, and he went on like that, and I think that's what started that whole...
No, he didn't stand like this. So it came out of a jealous... Yeah.
Oh, what a delightful interview, and we'd love to be able to play the entire show, but there were some highlights, and we have a beautiful ending to our story later on. Right now, we're going to get into a full-length Jack Benny show, and it's entitled How Jack Met Mary. This is the Armed Forces version of it, so you don't hear any Lucky Strike commercials. A complete show as it was broadcast on the NBC radio network, May 20th, 1945, the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills. At the moment, Rochester's alone in the kitchen preparing breakfast.
That table sure does look appetizing. A large glass of orange juice, a bowl of cornflakes and cream, 2 fried eggs, sunny side up, a thick slice of ham, a pint of hot pepper corners, and 3 honey-colored English muffins. Well, now I better make some tea and toast for Mr. Berry's breakfast. I think I'll give him a treat today. I'll slate the toast. No, he likes to do it himself. That's the only exercise he gets.
Here comes the boss.
Good morning, Rochester. Now, let's see. What have we got for... orange juice, cornflakes, ham and eggs. Rochester, what'd you make such a big breakfast for? You know I'm on a diet.
Doggone that, right.
Now, we can't let all this food go to waste. You made it, and you'll have to eat it yourself.
Oh, boss, don't be so mean to me.
Mean? Well, I've been on a diet a whole month, and every morning I come down and find the same big breakfast. Now, how can you make such a mistake?
Well...
And what's that strawberry shortcake on top of the oven?
That's the dessert for the mistake I'm going to make for dinner.
What? What did you say, Rochester?
Disregard it, boss. Disregard it.
Well, just don't let it happen again. I'll have this tea and toast. Look how burnt the toast is. Like charcoal. Well, never mind. I'll have one of those English muffins. Hey, that looks good. It's got honey all over it. And look at that raisin on top.
That's a bee. He's still working on it.
Oh, yeah. Go away, bee. Go away. Go away. Well, how do you like those California bees? They open the windows themselves. Rochester, I'll have my tea now. Never mind. You answer the door. I'll get the tea myself.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Rochester. It's Mr. Benny.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rochester. I didn't know.
Didn't know what?
Well, that black band you're wearing around your sleeve.
Oh, this. Mr. Benny makes me wear it every time he loses the Academy Award.
Well, why does Mr. Benny take it so hard? A lot of actors lose it.
I know, but he's been losing since 1902.
Rochester, what's keeping...
Oh, hello, Bill.
Hiya, Jackson.
Bill, what brings you over here so early?
Well, Jackson, I got great news for you. You know how you and Mary have always been picking on me for running around and wasting my time?
Yeah.
Well, starting today, I'm going to settle down and be a dignified businessman.
Well, congratulations, Bill. What did you do?
Bought a saloon. You know, a nightclub.
Oh, a nightclub. That's different.
Yeah. Me and Frankie, my guitar player, are running it, and things are going great, Jackson. Last night, our bartender was so busy mixing them drinks, he didn't have time to sit down.
No kidding.
Yeah, and tonight ought to be even better. We're going to let the customers in.
Oh, I see. So you and Frankie bought a nightclub, eh? What are you going to call the place?
Well, I ain't got a name for it yet, but... Well, I got a slogan.
A slogan?
Yeah, you know, like Duffy's Tavern. Now, their slogan is, where the elite come to eat.
Uh-huh.
Mine's going to be where the swine come to dine.
Phil, are you crazy? You're going to call your customers swine?
When you got to close at 12, Jackson, it don't make no difference what you call them.
Well, take my advice, Phil. You got a great opportunity to be a businessman. If you want to be successful, run your nightclub in a real high-class way.
Don't you worry, Jackson. I'll handle the joint right.
Here's your coffee, Mr. Hayes.
Thanks, Rod. Hey, what's that noise, Jackson?
Oh, that's the sculptor working upstairs. I wish he'd finish that statue of me and go back to St. Joe. How's the coffee, Phil?
Well, Jackson. Hey, let's turn on the radio and see what's going on, huh?
Okay.
Tonight. And now, folks, a message on behalf of my sponsors, the Bleeding Heart Finance Company. Friends, do you need money? Could you use a little extra cash? Do you want a loan of $10, $50, or $100? You do?
Get something else, Phil.
Seems like ages since I've heard his voice. I wonder if it'll be the same when I hear it again. I can't stand this waiting, this suspense. I can almost hear him now. Oh, I hope he hasn't changed. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't. 10 more seconds and I'll know. 5 seconds. 2 seconds. There it is. 4 o'clock.
Grill when watch time.
Hey, she was wonderful. What a part for Ingrid. Get another station, Phil, will you?
Have you been hit by an automobile lately? Do you feel run down? Are you getting fat? Are you beginning to launch upon? Are the spaces between your teeth suffering from middle-aged stress? If you have these or any other ailments, why not try sympathy soothing? Remember, folks, sympathy spelled backwards is Y-A-P-M-Y-S. Y-A-P-M-Y-S. Yes, folks, sympathy soothing syrup is good for people over 35 and wonderful for people under 35. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you our special guest, Miss Mary Stevens.
Oh, that's right, Phil. Larry Stevens told me he was going to be on that show.
Yeah, let's give the kid a lesson.
Huh? Okay. I wonder how much they pay for guest shots on the Atomic program.
Gentlemen, our guest star will be that eminent songwriter, Maxwell Langley, who will play his own composition, the current song hit entitled, Raise the Awning, Mother, Daddy's Leading a Shady Life.
Hey, that's a good song, Phil. I must learn on the violin. I raise the yawning mother, cause daddy's leading a shady line. No, it's third on the hit parade. There's somebody at the door. Shut off the radio, Phil. Come in!
Who is that?
It's me, Jack! Oh, Don, come on in. Hi, Don.
Oh, hello, Jack. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Donzie. What are you doing around this way, Don?
Well, you know I'm getting a little heavy, Jack, so every morning I go for a 5-mile horseback ride.
Oh.
I was out this way, so I thought I'd just drop in.
Good, good. Where's your horse?
Oh, he's lying down on your front lawn.
Well, the rest will do him good, you know?
Hey, Morris.
What is it, Rochester?
I just got into the sculptor's room, and he's almost through with the statue.
He is?
Yeah, but you ain't gonna like your expression.
Why, has he got me frowning or smiling?
You can take your choice. He gave you 2 heads.
2 heads?
Yeah, you hold one of them on your lap.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
You look like you're going bowling.
All right. But when that sculptor is finished with my statue, it better be the way I want it.
Hey, Jackson, I got to run along now. See you later.
I'm going too, Jack. Oh, wait a minute, fellas. I'll go out with you. So long, Jackson.
Bye, Jack.
So long, fellas. He's so nice out, I think I'll take a little walk. Oh, Rochester, I'll be back in a little while.
Okay, boss.
This is really a nice day. Ya-da-dee-da-dum, dum-dum-da-dee, da-dum-dum-dee-da-da-dum. Well, look who's here. Oh, I haven't seen you in quite a while. Come here, come here.
What's the matter?
Why are you crying? Oh, that. Don't take it so hard, lassie. I didn't win either. Better luck next year. Da da dee da 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 da. A little girl that's on the Fibber McGee program. Hello, little girl.
Hello. I bet I know who you are.
Poor little thing has a cold.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Huh?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Kern.
Yeah. I was just on my way over to your house.
You were?
Yes. You know, that interview you gave me last week about how you found Rochester was very interesting. My editor liked it a lot.
Well, I'm glad.
In fact, he liked it so much, he sent me back to get another story.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He wants to know how you found Mary Livingston.
Oh, Mary. Well, Mr. Kearns, this is a rather unusual story. Walk back with me. I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
Now, Mary, as I mentioned last week, joined me on the radio about 3 months after I got started. I happened to be in Los Angeles at the time, almost 14 years ago. Yes, I remember that was the day I bought this shirt I'm wearing. They give guarantees, you know. Anyway, it was the latter part of 1932. That's right, 1932. I was downtown, and as I was passing the May Company, I noticed they were running a sale, so I stopped to look in the window.
Just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. She has a catchy new tune. Yum-dum-da-da-dum, dum-da-dum. Fall is such a nice time of year. Leaves are turning brown and the air is...
I wonder if Hoover will be reelected. I think I'll get me one of those high collars. Nah, my neck's too short.
When the blue of the night, boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
That new singer has a nice style, but he can't last. Hey, look at those shirts in the window. Silk ones with stripes. $4.98 marked down to $1.99. I think I'll go in and let them try to sell me one. Let's see. I wonder where the... Oh, pardon me, sir. Can you tell me where the shirt counter is?
Shirt counter? What are you asking me? Do I look like maybe a floor walking?
Floor walker? Well, I thought you were. You see, you're not wearing a hat.
In this depression, who could afford a hat?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, maybe I can help you get a job. What do you do?
Well, I do different things. I can be a carpenter commissioner.
Huh?
I am also a plum commissioner.
A plumber?
Uh-huh. And I'm also a very good paint commissioner.
Oh, you can do a lot of things, can't you?
Yeah, but in this depression, there's nothing to paint me, or to plum me, or to cotton me.
That's too bad. Well, thanks just the same, but I've got to find the shirt counter.
Oh, well, say, maybe I could enlighten me, you.
Never mind, I'll find it myself. Oh, there it is over there. Boy, look at those 40 shirts. I love those new long pointed collars.
What can I do for you, young man?
I want to buy a shirt. I like this silk one with the stripes.
Yes, sir. Shall I wear it for a few days, or do you want to break it in yourself?
I'll take it now. How much is it?
Well, that'll be $1.99.
$1.99? Okay, here's $2.
Well, I'll have to go upstairs for the change.
Oh, that's all right. I'll wait.
Just a gigolo everywhere I go. A people know this.
Hey, look at that beautiful dame behind the hosiery counter. What a chicken. I think she's looking at me, too. Run over and try to date her up.
Say, Mary, Mary.
What is it, Mabel?
Look at that guy over there. He's staring at you.
Where?
Down over there at the shirt counter.
Say, he looks kind of prosperous, don't he? How can you tell with those bell-bottom pants? He might be barefoot.
Look at him winking at us with both eyes. And get a load of that straw hat he's wearing with the bright red ribbon around it. Yeah, and look what it says on it. Oh, you kid.
Hey, Mabel, he's tipping his hat at us.
Yeah, he's got the string in his pocket.
Hey, wait a minute, he's coming over here.
You want me to take him, Mary?
No, I can handle him.
Just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing.
Look at him, he's walking like Peter Barrett.
Yum-dum-dee-da-dum.
Hello, kiddo. Where have you been all my life?
Avoiding it.
Hey, you're good. Just my type. I like my tomatoes with a little spice. Hey, baby. What's your name?
Mary.
Mary what? Pike Contrary?
Oh, brother, is this guy corny.
What is that?
Look, my name is Mary Livingston. I was born in Plainfield, New Jersey. I know I should be in pictures, but I'm happy at the makeup. You may think I'm a very good sales girl. Now, what do you want, Jelly Bean?
Wait a minute. Take it easy. You got me wrong, baby.
Oh, stop tipping your hat.
What?
And take your bag of peanuts off the counter.
No, baby. I put those up there on purpose. Help yourself. Go ahead, will you? Just help yourself.
Say, you're a pretty forty guy.
You think so?
Yeah. You always carry that ukulele?
Oh, this? You ought to hear me out in the canoe.
Say, I'll bet that ukulele set you back plenty.
No, they gave it to me when I bought this suit. Say, Mary, you don't mind my calling you Mary, do you, mean? If I wait around you get through, can I take you home?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, why not? I got a taxi outside.
Look, I went out with a taxi driver once, and the way...
I'm not a taxi driver. Look, baby, don't you know who I am?
No, thrill me.
Well, hang on to the counter, baby. And brace yourself. I'm Jack Benny.
Can I let go of the counter now?
Oh, you're kidding, baby. You know who I am. I'm a big shot. I've been on the radio 3 months.
So what? My alarm clock's been on the radio 3 years, and I got that at Woolworth.
You're alive.
Hey, you're plenty fast on the trigger.
What are you doing working here in a department store? You should be on the radio.
What did I tell you, Mabel? I knew it was coming.
What?
My mother told me there'd be men like you, but I thought they'd be much younger.
What's that? Say, you're terrific. Listen, baby, you got everything it takes. Good looks, a nice speaking voice, and what a personality.
I bet you tell us all, girl.
No, I don't. What are you laughing at?
The way you're leaning against the counter.
Why?
It's pressing the bulb in your pocket and the water's squirting out of that flower in your lapel.
Say, I can't fool you at all, can I? Listen, Mary. Mary, listen. You ought to be on the radio with me. I'll get you places. You'll be a big star.
Say, you're not kidding, are you?
Of course not. Why don't you meet me tonight for dinner? And we'll talk things over.
Okay. You know, there's a nice cafeteria across the street and we can...
Cafeteria? Not when you go out with Benny, baby. I'll take you to the Brown Derby and afterwards we'll go dancing at the Copeland Grove. When you're out with me, baby, money means nothing. Well, I'll take you...
Pardon me, mister. Here's your penny chain.
Thank you.
Take you any place you want to go.
All right, I'll meet you inside the store at 6 o'clock.
I'll be there, so long.
So long.
Oh, boys, you're going to be great on my radio program. Of course, I don't want to spoil her. I wonder how much they pay her at the maid company. Hey, I'll ask you tonight when we're having dinner at the cafeteria. This occurrence is how I found Miss Livingston.
Well, that's a very interesting story.
Well, here's my house, Mr. Kearns. Would you like to come in for a cup of coffee?
Well, no, thanks. I've got to run along now. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye. Yeah-da-dee-da-da.
Andrew. Sunday night broadcasting from the redistribution station at Santa Barbara. Meanwhile...
Oh, Jack, I'm so sorry I'm late. It's the first time I've ever missed a program.
Yeah, what happened to you?
Well, I took a nap before the broadcast and my alarm didn't go off.
Well, it's all right, Mary. Don't worry about it.
What'd you do, Jack? What was the show about?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, come on, tell me.
No, you wouldn't be interested. Good night.
The Armed Forces Radio Service. From the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service, originally broadcast on the NBC Radio Network, May 20th, 1945. That's how Jack met Mary. At least that's how they treated it on radio and television in the years that they broadcast. It was a beautiful love story, lasted almost 45 years, and then some, as you hear in this story, which was told in Mary's book, and she repeated on the Johnny Carson Show.
Is it true that you still get a red rose from Jack every day? You mentioned that.
Yes,
that's so sweet.
After Jack passed away, I think it was about a week later, a red rose came. No name, just one red rose. And I thought, isn't this lovely? Somebody sent me red rose, how dear. The next day, it still came, and I couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, who's the florist? You know, if I called a florist, they probably could tell me. Nobody knew. It wasn't until about, I still getting them, every day. And it was about, I guess, 6 months later, when the florist, David Jones,
told you that
Jack had told him to send me a rose for the rest of my life.
Well, that is sweet. Oh,
that's
good to hear.
That's the major of the man. That's pretty much easy.
And now Jack Benny and his doll are together forever. Rest well, Mary Livingston. I wish to thank at this point the people who made it possible for us to produce this tribute to Mary Livingston, NBC Radio and Television, of course, and CBS Radio and Television for the programs that were broadcast during the golden age of radio and television. Also, thanks to Marty Eric for the complete Jack Benny show and for production assistance from Barbara Sunday. We appreciate it very, very much. A couple of great books to pick up are Milt Josephsberg's book entitled The Jack Benny Show and Mary Livingston Benny's book entitled simply Jack Benny.